If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oprah Winfrey said in a recent interview that she calls Democratic presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg, quote, Buddha beep, Buddha boop, which is also what Trump calls his sons.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to Representative Will Hurd, a Republican congressman from Texas. The congressman also continues the conversation backstage at Studio AG. But first, a closer look.
The president threatened to go to war with Congress, and now he and his attorney general are doing exactly that. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. For the first 2 years of his presidency, Trump enjoyed complete immunity and freedom to do whatever he wanted because Republicans in Congress let him get away with it. But then, after Democrats won back control of the House in November and gained the power to investigate him, Trump threatened to go to war.
If they start investigating you, can you compartmentalize that and still continue to work with them for the benefit of the rest of the country?
No.
Are all bets off?
No. If they do that, then it's just all it is a warlike posture.
I can't exactly imagine Trump in a warlike posture. He spends most of his time in a duck-like posture. If he were at the Battle of Winterfell, he wouldn't have been on the front lines or fighting a dragon. He would have been sitting under a tree in his golf cart. But now, Trump and his team are showing us their warlike posture after his Attorney General William Barr refused to show up for a hearing today in the House Judiciary Committee to answer questions about Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. Barr refused to show up specifically because the committee wanted to let lawyers ask him questions.
William Barr informing a House panel he will not testify today as scheduled. He had been scheduled to testify to the House Judiciary Committee about his handling of the Mueller report, but Barr rejected the committee's plan to have one of its staff lawyers question him alongside lawmakers.
We cannot permit the administration to dictate to Congress how we operate. He is terrified of having to face a skilled attorney.
And I'm sure he is. Usually when you work for Trump, the only attorney you have to face is this guy, and he is definitely not skilled. He looks like he can't believe he's the president's lawyer. Rudy always looks like the last frame of a clip from America's Funniest Home Videos. If you tuned in late and saw this, you'd immediately say, oh, that guy just got hit in the nuts by a seesaw. So with Barr refusing to show up, Democrats decided to make a show of his cowardice by holding a hearing with an empty chair where Barr would have been sitting. And then immediately after the hearing, Democrats used the opportunity to slam Barr for refusing to show up.
I don't feel that I can trust anything that the Attorney General is saying because I don't know who the Attorney General works for.
Attorney General Bill Barr is not one of the most dangerous men in Washington, D.C.
The so-called Attorney General is abrasive, evasive, and unpersuasive.
Man, this confirms everyone's worst fear. If you don't show up to a party, the people who do are gonna talk about you. In rhyme. But Democrats didn't stop at just calling out Barr. Congressman Steve Cohen decided to mock him by putting a glass chicken in Barr's place and bringing out a bucket of KFC. And then he brought out the chicken statue again during an interview after the hearing to really hit the point home.
Representative Steve Cohen of Tennessee started eating a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken this morning while lawmakers and the press waited to see if Barr would show up.
Tennessee Democrat Steve Cohen then placed a chicken statue and a bucket of KFC in front of the empty chair, poking fun at Barr's refusal to appear.
Chicken Barr should have shown up today and answered questions.
We are looking at images of you at that committee hearing today with what appears to be a bucket of fried chicken. And oh, there it is. You brought props, I see, with you here. What is the message you're trying to send?
The message is that Bill Barr is a chicken.
Is that the message? I'm not sure we got it, pal. Also, dude, if you want KFC, just order KFC. It's fine. You don't need to tie it into the hearing. And he's probably not here because he knew we'd be hitting him with a McFlurry of questions. So Barr decided not to show up, and yet Republicans on the committee still wanted time to complain, not about Barr, but about the Democrats, like Congressman Matt Gaetz. Gaetz tried to interrupt the committee chairman as he was wrapping up the hearing, but he was only able to get a few words in before his mic was cut off.
We need the information without delay. The hearing
is adjourned. Mr. Chairman,
and we'll do so with trampling minority rights.
It's going to be, Mr. Chairman, where there is not going to be a recognition of members who seek legitimate inquiry as to the procedures.
Wow, forget muting someone on Twitter. Turns out you can mute them in real life. Seriously, can we please try that next time Trump holds a rally?
Look, it's a rigged system, okay? If I told you how...
So that was it. That was it. Barr just refused to show up and answer questions about how he handled one of the most highly anticipated reports in modern political history. And that might be because when he faced skilled questioning from experienced senators in a hearing yesterday, he often had no answer. Like when Senator Kamala Harris asked Barr if anyone in the White House had ever asked him to open an investigation into anyone, and Barr clearly did not want to answer the question.
Has the president or anyone at the White House ever asked or suggested that you open an investigation of anyone? Yes or no, please, sir.
The president or anybody else.
Seems you would remember something like that and be able to tell us.
Yeah, but I'm trying to grapple with the word suggest. I mean, there have been discussions of matters out there that they have not asked me to open an investigation, but...
Perhaps they've suggested?
I don't know. I wouldn't say suggest.
Hinted?
I don't know.
Inferred? You don't know. Okay.
If it takes you that long to answer something, the answer is yes. If you go in for your performance review at Chipotle and your boss says, just one last question, Brad, have you ever wrapped your genitals in a tortilla? And Brad says, I'm trying to grapple with the word wrap. The answer is yes. Brad wrapped his in a tortilla. That happened. So Barr lied about Mueller's findings before anyone else got to see them. That's why Mueller sent his letter to Barr complaining about the process, a letter he sent in March, but which we only found out about this week. And when he was asked about that letter at his hearing yesterday, Barr basically just shrugged it off and specifically complained about the tone.
This letter was an extraordinary act, a career prosecutor rebuking the Attorney General of the United States. I know of no other instance of...
But he was also a political appointee, and he was a political appointee with me at the Department of Justice. The letter's a bit snitty, and I think it was probably written by one of his staff people.
Sorry, did you call it snitty, or are you the Attorney General or the Dowager Countess? Also, you know, of course he was snitty. He spent 2 years working on a 400-page report about a criminal conspiracy to interfere in a presidential election, and then you wrote a 4-page summary lying about it. I'd be snitty, too. It's like if Michelangelo unveiled the Sistine Chapel and then the Pope just put a plaque under it that said, two dudes touching fingers. So Barr lied to the American people and to Congress, and now he's just not showing up to hearings at all, which means the next thing Congress should do is call Mueller himself to testify so we can actually hear from the guy who wrote the report. Democrats in the House have said they want to do that, but in the Senate, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, said flat out he definitely will not call Mueller to testify.
Why not call for Mueller to testify?
Because I'm not going to do any more. Enough already. It's over.
No, it's not over just because you said it's over. We should hear from Mueller because, for one thing, we never do. I mean, I don't even know what his voice sounds like. Maybe he sounds like Bobcat Goldthwait from Police Academy.
I'd now like to discuss with you something that would be vital for you to know.
This has been A Closer Look. Our guest tonight is a very funny comedian and actor who you know from such films as Happy Gilmore, 51st Dates, Grown Ups, and, of course, his work on Saturday Night Live. He returns for the first time to host this weekend with musical guest Shawn Mendes. Please welcome back to the show the one, the only, New Hampshire's favorite son, Adam Sandler, everybody! Welcome back!
Hi, everybody. Hi. Hi. Nice to see you.
We're so happy to have you here.
I'm very excited. Hi, guys. Nice to see you all. You look great. Yeah.
Thank you for taking time out of this busy week.
Man, yes, of course. I wanted to see you. I wanted to see you. Ever since you said some nice stuff about my special.
Your special, and I want to talk about your special, is 100% fresh.
Yes, yes.
Is as good a comedy special as I've seen in years. It made me so happy.
Thank you so much. And thanks for saying the nice stuff. And all my friends sent me your tweet and all the nice stuff you said.
And that's good. I mean, I got to be honest. I think a tweet for me is going to be real good for you.
I think it's healthy. Yeah. It's healthy.
It's going to be really good for me. Why? It's been 20-plus years, maybe almost 25 years since you left SNL. I mean, I have to imagine you've been asked to host over the years. What made now the right time?
It was a mistake.
Yeah.
they caught me in a weak moment. No, those guys are great. The special came out, and then some guys from Saturday Night Live called me and said, "They come on, come host," and blah, blah, blah. And they were talking about, you know, watching the special together. And I said, yeah, you're right, man. Let me come do it. And I love Lorne, and I wanted to see Lorne and do it with him and be on the show and bring back some nice. But I got to tell you, it's knocked me out. I'm so knocked out right now.
Also, I think the difference, because, you know, I went back this year as well. They asked me like a week beforehand.
Oh, yeah?
So I didn't have, because you've had some time to think about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you had stress coming in? Like, because it's been like months that you've known.
Yes, yes. I've been watching the show and I've been laughing and I was like, oh, man, that guy's good or she's good. And I'm nervous about me. And now, but, it's really been, like, this week.
It's so hard.
It really is a knockout. I should have come back to the show before it was HD. Because now I'm like, good Lord, I waited a long, long time. I don't really look like Adam Sandler anymore, but that's all right. But I'm just, yeah, no, I am, I'm going to wake up.
Have you, I know, backstage, I saw some of the guys you used to write with.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you came back. Has that been nice, having them around?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Herlihy and Smigel and Steve Korn and all my guys that were on the show with me back then and wrote a lot of stuff I did. The writing staff was very nice to them, and it was good. They feel like me. When I went there, and they're so good and so young and so, you do go, oh, my God, I don't belong here.
I would assume, like me, you would stay very late on Tuesday nights writing. Did you try that at all this time, or were you out of there pretty? Oh, you did.
I did one night, the Tuesday night. When you do Saturday Night Live, you write the skits like Monday, Tuesday kind of thing, and a lot of guys stay late Tuesday or the women. And I stayed till like 4. And
that's pretty impressive.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I came back. I was delirious. I was nasty. Nasty to the hotel guy when my key wasn't ready. I was like, oh, come on, man. I was a little psychotic, but I'm good. I have not bounced back from that yet. Tonight, I got to sleep, though.
That's good. And I would imagine that you're, I feel like everybody at this point has a very bad Adam Sandler impression. And I always found that was a fun week to write on the show. It's like Christopher Walken, everybody has a bad one. And I remember when he would host, if you'd walk down the hall, you'd hear every writer like typing and doing it in Walken's voice. You'd be like, oh my God, everybody is talking like Christopher Walken this week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, that happened at the show. I did hear through the door on occasion here.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, boy.
I was like, oh, come on.
We got to switch it up. We got to show my range.
Yeah, I do other stuff. No, I actually don't.
Did you go, your office, I know this from legend, is really a murderer's row, sort of Mount Rushmore of that era. You, Farley, Spade, and Rock all shared an office.
Yes, we were in the back. I went and visited we're not there anymore. It's Weekend Update is in our office.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was nice to see. But I did look at Farley's old desk, and I thought of all the crazy, just him being funny there and just the fun times we had. And I know the Weekend Update guys who were sitting in are a lot smarter than we are, and a lot of different conversations are
was
going
it on. I mean, the level of filth in some of the offices is stunning.
Yes.
Certainly in my era, too.
Yes.
Was yours, and by filth, I mean a lack of cleanliness.
Yes,
were
yes,
you guys
yes.
an uncleanly...
Nobody picked up much. Farley, of you know, he didn't pick up much. And yeah. Spade, he was, you know, he wasn't as filthy as Farley or me. But Rock kind of took care of himself a little bit better than us. But we did hit McDonald's a lot. Did you guys used to do that?
Yeah.
You'd walk
did you
down?
Go out on your own? Because I do feel bad, because my memory is we would maybe send interns out to
you
McDonald's.
Did? Yeah. No, we went there. We got excited to be in McDonald's. I think we were excited to get recognized back then.
Okay.
It was like, oh, man, I think the lady gave me extra cheese or something.
So you would go out fishing for... You weren't like one yes. of those people put your hood up in sunglasses.
No.
Yeah.
No, that just happened this year. But I was definitely walking down the street, like, after Saturday show, if I did well on a show when I was, you know, 23 years old, my God, was I walking down the street and staring people in the eyes like, that's right, it's me, man.
I remember every now and then they would give you, like, the Christmas gift would be, like, a duffel bag that they'd give to the cast. It would be a duffel bag with SNL on the side, yeah. and you have to say, well, I can't use this.
Right,
because
right,
I feel
right.
like if I wear it, it's, like, me desperately trying to get people to, like, huh? It yeah. seemed like you would have jumped at that duffel bag.
I'd be all over the backpack. Yeah.
We've talked a lot on this show about Second Chance Theater sketches that like yes. killed at the table
yes.
and then died in front of the audience.
Oh, right,
you had
right.
the reverse happen.
Yes.
Which is very hard to do. I don't even quite understand yeah. how did you get a sketch on that didn't have to go to the table?
This was an incredible moment. I'm pretty sure this happened. I don't remember everything. It was a long time ago. But the Herlihy boy.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened was I was starting to, like, people were starting to like some of the stuff I did. And Lauren, I wasn't on the show that week, and Lauren said to Jim Downey, Adam's light, ask him if he has anything. And so after the, you know, usually you got to read in front of the whole cast and the whole crew, and if they laugh and you get it on, if they don't, you know, and a lot of times my stuff, if it didn't work. But this, the Herlihy boy, somehow I was asked to be on. I wrote it, like, late on a Wednesday night and did it, and that was the sneakiest
yeah.
thing ever, yeah.
And for those who don't remember the Herlihy boy, definitely go on YouTube and look it up.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I mean, in the end, you know, it's really a sketch about Farley.
Yeah. That was
you're the Herlihy boy, but right, you definitely right. You handed the best stuff off.
I yeah. had the title role, but I knew the man. The man that was a big move, man. In my ear, if you wrote Farley into a skit, you knew it was probably going to get on. It was probably going to be a great time.
You guys, this was growing up. I remember watching this sketch and enjoying the Gap Girls sure. a great deal.
Yeah,
was it as much?
That was fun. Yeah. Yeah, that was Spade. Spade used to write those.
Spade wrote those?
Yeah. We had a great time doing that. I don't know, me and Farley didn't look as good as Spade. Spade kind of fit that stuff better
yeah,
than
Spade
us.
Yeah, Spade does kind of look, yeah.
Spade has a nice little body on him, and yeah. me and Farley are a little bigger, we didn't make sense in the
and
office.
Spade kept it, because I remember when Spade came back and hosted in my era, I think he played Martha Stewart right away.
Oh, right,
yeah.
right.
So he's managed to maintain that, yeah.
The thing about Spade and Gap Girls is he's just talking with his voice.
Yeah.
No, everyone else we're putting on like a little higher weird things. He's just like, hey, what's
up? When we get back, I want to talk about the special, but one of the things I want to say is, you know, and I think this is true of your work over your career and why people care about you so much and your work, is it's really funny, but it's also really sweet. And you had, you sort of chose to do a song about Farley yeah, in the yeah. special. Yeah. And it seemed like is such a thing that everybody wanted to hear. Was it, when you first started doing it, obviously when you were working on your special, yeah. was it nice to know that everybody still wants to connect to Farley that way?
Oh, yeah, man. I remember the first couple of times I sang it, and it was like a nice electric feeling in the audience, and everybody loved Farley so much, and anytime I said his name, people would cheer. It was great.
It was really great, yeah, and yeah. And we're going to come back and talk more about the special. That's Adam Sandler. We'll be right back after
this.
All
right, this. Right on. I always get these emails from the kids' school that I gotta come in. It's Terrific Tuesday. Make sure you come in. And you're like, Terrific, what the f is Terrific Tuesday? Well, you come by the school and you tell the kids how terrific they are. And I'm like, okay, Thirsty Thursday. Thirsty Thursday, come by. You know, you help the kids fill their water bottles on. I'm like, my father literally came to school one
time my whole school career. He opened the door in the middle of the a test, and I hear, "Where'd you put the rake?" I'm like, "What?
You put it on the nail?"
"I think I did."
"You think?" "Not there."
Welcome back to Late Night. We're here with Adam Sandler. That was a clip from your fantastic special, 100% Fresh. And I've heard you talk about your dad before. He was obviously really important to you. And that was, you know, you guys asked, and there were 100 clips I could have picked, but that was my favorite moment in the special.
So cool.
Was he supportive of the idea of you embarking on comedy?
Yeah, for sure. He wanted me to put an end date on it, though, if it didn't pan out.
What did he think was a fair time to call it over?
Man, if I remember correctly, it's like I started when I was 17 doing stand-up. And then I think it was like, it was when I graduated college. He said, give it a year. And if it doesn't happen in a year, you'll work for me. That kind of thing. It was smart. And then everybody was saying, you could be a doctor and all that stuff. And I know that couldn't have happened. But that was not a fallback plan. But he would always, he still, even when I was on Saturday Night Live, he would always say, you know, like, yeah, all right, it's going all right, but just, you know, I'm here for you. If you need the company, you can come back and work for me. And if this doesn't, you know, he just was nervous about me getting enough money to live life.
That's very sweet. Was there ever a time where he reached a level of comfort where you realize, like, oh, it's good now?
Yeah. I mean, never 100%, because he would always go, well, the way you spend. But he'd get nervous about that. But I remember one time I was in a trailer. I was with my dad. We were shooting Billy Madison. And then my father was in the trailer with me. And then they came in. They got an offer to do a movie that, like, it wasn't a thing I did. But I read it, and I didn't like it that much. And they said, and in the trailer, there was an agent there who goes, you know, they offered you $2 million. And blah, blah, blah. My father goes, do it. I go, oh, no, Dad, it's not. He goes, it doesn't matter. Every actor makes bad movies. I was like, no. He's like, do the movie. You're getting mad.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wonderful stuff about your family as well. Is it your youngest daughter or your oldest daughter having a bat mitzvah coming up?
Oh, yes. She's going to be 13 on Monday.
Okay, gotcha.
She's having a bat mitzvah, yes.
And has there been a lot of planning gone into this?
Oh, man, my wife and my daughter are planning the whole thing. Every time I mention anything, I'm shut down. They're just ready to have. The bat mitzvah are different nowadays. These kids have a pretty damn good time. Mine was New Hampshire.
Yep.
In my basement. The party was in my basement. It was the first time I jammed ever with a band.
Really?
My guitar teacher, guys, I played My Sharona with the band, and all the kids gathered around. I jammed. I sang My Sharona, but yeah, that's not flying today. They got some good high-tech stuff coming.
There's a great thing in the special about how you are a very enthusiastic when your kids play sports. I believe it's basketball case, that you are the kind of dad who makes some noise when your kids are playing.
Yes.
And do they like basketball? Is that something they enjoy?
They do. I mean, they're so busy. There's so many things to do. It's like, because my kids dance.
Oh, they're
dancing.
Okay.
They're dancing now.
What's it like being a dance dad?
I do that. I'm like a dance dad. I don't know that much what's going on. I drop them. I bring them to dance. I watch them in the studio. I sit and I see through the glass and they do stuff. And, you know, they look at me and wave and I wave back. I don't know. They're doing good at it, I think. I don't know. But we do. They set up, you go away. These things are really long. You go like 6 in the morning to a tournament or whatever. I'm not sure what it's called. but you go and you sit and you watch. They're like, you know, I have two daughters, so one's on it like at 7:10 in the morning. I'm like, oh God, that's early, man. We got to drive somewhere. And then she does her thing at 7:10, and then the older one's on at 10:20. So we got to sit in the theater, and I watch the other kids. They're all nice kids, but I don't know them. And they're all good. Everybody can dance good, by the way. That's what I noticed about this generation, man. These kids are all good at dancing. They all got very flexible legs. My daughter all day long just grabs this leg and pulls it up to the side. I'm like, that. Anyways, But yeah, they're long, and my wife, we sit and hang out and have fun and watch the kids.
What is you mentioned like your kids looking up because you know now I have my 3-year-old goes to ballet class, by the way.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that's
and
good.
It's the best. That's I mean, sweet. It's not dancing yet. It's just you know pretend to be a horse and run around the room.
but it's
a dance outfit, and
right,
you know
right.
that's for me. That's the money. but. You know, that thing, I think at this level now, they're probably, there's a chance your kid's going to look up while you're there, right?
Right.
So does that mean you never take out your phone or never?
Oh, that's a good one, man.
Because
yeah,
I'm just worried about that moment of like, you know, I don't want to, you know, have them say like, I was doing the leg thing and I looked over and you were on the phone and now I'm going to carry that with me for the next 20 years. So how,
that's
are you good? Are
here's
you good
the
at
move.
It?
You can look at your phone the whole time. If they look at you and they give a look like, hey, man, what are you doing? You just go, I just videoed you and I was looking at it back. Look how good you are.
You're going out on the road
yes.
with the show. I mean, is it exciting now that you obviously you know it all works? And one, I should say one of the, you made this really cool directorial decision. You shot your special everywhere,
right,
in big
right.
arenas,
yes.
In tiny rooms.
Yeah.
And it cuts together so well. So now, though, that you know it works, is it fun to go out on the road
and
just be like, the hard work's done, this is just going to be joy?
Absolutely, man. I can play songs that people know already. I do a pretty, like, when I don't do the special. I do a couple of things from the special, and then I got a, like, you know, we do long shows, like hour, 45, two-hour shows. And
wow, that's fantastic.
It's fun. Yeah, it's great. We have the best time, and it is good that the audience kind of knows that I do stand up again and in the songs and all that stuff. It's going to make, so we're going on tour all of June. Can't wait.
That's great. And you got another movie coming out on Netflix with Jennifer Aniston?
Yes, yes.
Murder Mystery?
Yes, she's excellent in it, and I'm in it too.
She's
the best. She's a great girl.
Hey, it always means the world to me anytime
me too,
you stop
buddy.
By.
Thanks, God.
Break a leg on Saturday. Adam Sandler, SNL this weekend with him and Shawn Mendes in his film Murder Mystery. We're going to stream on Netflix June 14th.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.